Angeles. It's Todd Ortloff.
All right, welcome to the program. A little later on in the show, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be bringing you a special Veterans Day program from our friends at the Fisher House Foundation. But before we get to that, a kind of an update on a show we've done recently with a friend of mine who has really made lemonade out of lemons, to say the least. Max Badasha joins us again. And just as a background, Max, he wasn't supposed to even be here right now because his doctor said he would be dead by September, and he's very much alive and doing really well, actually. And I think a lot of that has to do with attitude and a lot of other things too, and the miracle of modern medicine that just seems to be working. So Max is here because he has also, in the midst of all of this cancer diagnosis, has written a play called Stages, which is just a fascinating play in just how it's been set up and the fact that it's his first go-round at this. You'd think he'd been writing these things forever. So Max is here to give us an update as to where things are with the play and maybe encourage some folks to attend come January when it all opens up down at the Olympic Theater Arts facility down in Squim. So, okay, all that out of the way, Max, good to have you back.
Thank you so much.
You are looking great, and I'm so happy that things are going well for you treatment-wise and all of that, too. But in a nutshell, tell folks what, you know, your diagnosis was really out of this world sort of thing. I mean, yeah. It was a one in a gazillion chance type of cancer you were diagnosed with.
Exactly, yeah. This is called epithelioid sarcoma, and it's a fatty tissue tumor, you know, cancer, and it actually started in my hand, which it never happens. Mm-hmm. My hand surgeon had been a doctor for 35 years and said she's never seen it in the hand before. So I ended up losing my hand. The oncologist basically said I have a year to live and didn't want to give me the okay to move up to Washington because he said, that looks bad on me, like I can't treat you when I know I can. And I said, right there, my life is more important than your ego, sir, and I'm bouncing to Squim. Right. And here I am.
And Max's dad lives in Squim, and so you had a place to land up here. And lo and behold, I mean, you got the ultimate second opinion, I guess.
Yeah.
Things have gone pretty well.
They're going really well. I actually don't even have to do chemo at the moment. I am on this targeted antibody medication, and last week I had a CT scan, and everything's turning out pretty nicely.
Exactly.
Things are shrinking. I have my energy back. Under this cap, I actually have hair.
In fact, I got to the point, because I see Max quite often, and I didn't recognize you because I hadn't seen you for a while, and all your hair had grown back.
It had grown
which
back.
Which is terrific.
Yeah, and I actually just had to shave it recently for filming, because we have four short films that are going to be in the play. And I was like, oh, wait, I have to shave my head now.
When I saw you were doing that, I thought, well, I don't know. I mean, that's good and bad that he's here to be able to do that. But the second part is I know he was liking his hair back.
Yeah,
so.
But you know what? It felt different this time because I actually had the choice. You know, first time on January 1st of this year, all my hair fell out. That was how I started my new year.
Yeah.
And to be honest, from that moment until now, so many things have happened, but so many great things have happened too.
Okay, so you decided to write this play.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, you'd never written a play before.
Mm-hmm, correct.
So tell us a little bit about that, and then I'm going to want to set up where things are at with
Absolutely.
It.
It was, you know, I was in the hospital for 4 days. I was in the worst pain of my life, and basically I was probably supposed to be in there a little longer, but I said to the nurses and doctors, hey, I've got this trip to New York already planned out. Everything's paid for, non-refundable, everything. And so you need to get me better by the next day. And they all looked at me like I was totally nuts. And I don't know if it was just my own will or just miraculous things happened. But when I woke up that morning at 4 a.m, I felt wonderful. And I got on the plane, went to Broadway, saw several shows that really inspired me. And I thought to myself, you know, I have a story to tell. And I think my story will resonate with so many people, because everyone, you know, is affected by cancer in some way or another. And to be really honest, since I wrote this play, the stories I've heard of people who have family members, husbands, children who've passed of cancer, I mean, it's every single day, Todd, I wake up and I go, I'm the lucky one that I get to share this with people. And these people, I feel, when we chat, we do have this little healing moment, you know, and really this play is about honoring those people who've passed, you know, and I say the play is not about me and it's truly not about me. You know, this is about everyone who's ever been affected. Right. And that's why it's dedicated to those who've lost their lives.
And you have pulled characters from your life, mm-hmm. essentially, into this. Describe how you've set this up, because you kind of just alluded to it. There's actually short films mm-hmm. in it. It's kind of like little plays within a play, might mm-hmm. be a good way to put it.
Yeah. So, you know, the play is about 70 minutes long, 75 minutes long. And we filmed these little short films because it really was a perfect way to keep things moving, because we only have so much time. So, you know, a particular film will kind of show things sped up and just kind of makes more sense when you see it. But yeah, the characters in the second act are all people based on people that I know in my real life. So my friend Marilyn is out in the lobby now, but she's playing Tula, who is actually my stepmother who passed of pancreatic cancer. And, you know, it's a way to honor those people in my life as well. But it's come together so beautifully. The people that are in the play, it's really touching.
All right, describe the play, mm-hmm. kind of what the message sure. is in this as well. Stages, it's that, because you really are talking about people at different stages of their cancer,
yes.
stages of their lives, yes. stages just in general, right? Yeah. And it's on a stage.
And it's on a stage, right. Exactly. So when people ask me, what is your play about? I say this, you know, this is about four individuals who meet at chemo, and they learn how to support each other in way more ways than they ever could have imagined. They all touch each other's lives. They all grow. And it really gives them a purpose and meaning to their lives. And really, when people watch this, I really feel that people are going to say, you know, in the end, we're really not all that different, you know. And I was telling, you know, Marilyn, I said, you know, when I'm at chemo, we're just staring at each other. There's 15 of us, you know, we're not talking about politics. We're not talking about things that divide us. We're talking about like, hey, how are you? How are you feeling? What's going on? You know, we're concerned about each other and we don't care about our politics. We don't care about things that divide us. And truthfully, I hope people will walk away going, that's true. We aren't that different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, let's hope it doesn't take a cancer diagnosis for people to get to that point, right?
Let's not hope. I don't wish this on anybody, but you know what? Yeah. Some good can come out of anything.
So you got this all cast.
Yes, I do.
And actually, I have, because I know some inside baseball about this, you had to get it recast kind of almost twice because people came and could do it and then they couldn't.
Yeah, I've actually had a couple, you know, one character in particular, but yeah, it's just hard, you know, just casting somebody. And it's like, this is a lot, you know, young people now more than ever are so busy. Yep. They have so much stuff to do. And then I had another actor, he actually got into a pretty good car crash on the way back home. And so I said, I completely get it. And although I was nervous about, okay, now I have to find these people. Of course, I was concerned about those people. But I have to trust the process and know that this will happen because it's meant to happen. And it really did.
And there's also a huge amount of literally a memorial, if you will, people mm-hmm. sending you photos yes. and things that are related to, you know, their family struggles
absolutely.
With loved ones and cancer, right?
Yeah, exactly. So when you see the official stages poster, which you will be seeing around Squim and Port Angeles, it's a collage of these beautiful people, and they have all lost their lives to cancer. Mm-hmm. These pictures are in my possession because family members and friends of those who are lost emailed them to me, and I'm actually still collecting these photos. I blow them up to 8x10s, and the entire backdrop at the show is going to be these beautiful photos. And we have a couple more surprises, but that's the main thing that we're doing. And so if anybody wants to send me photos of their loved ones, you can email me at stagestheplay@gmail.com. That's stagestheplay@gmail.com. And I will print these out myself. You don't have to print them. You keep your own photo, and these will certainly be respected. And we're so happy. It's kind of a strange feeling. We're happy that we have all these beautiful photos, but then, you know, these people have passed away from cancer. So, you know, it's just really every time we have a rehearsal, every time we have a read through, the cast, we literally give at least 20 seconds of silence to where we can really sort of welcome these people in and just remember, you know, if you ask me if I'm nervous to do the play, I'm not nervous at all. Because really, it's about honoring these people. And anytime you're honoring somebody, how can you be nervous? You know, how can you feel strange or any way if you know that you're doing something that's right?
All right. So the play opens January 9th. It goes 9th, 10th, and 11th and 12th. 7:30 shows on the 9th through the 11th, and then a matinee on the 12th of January.
Yes.
You can get tickets now.
Yes. At you go to brownpapertickets.com. You enter in stages. You may have to put like maybe a date, but the tickets are only $10. Yep. They do go up at the door, $15 at the door. And for all the people who are coming on January 12th, which is the matinee, we are going to invite you to the cast party. And it's going to be pretty exciting. We have two bands that are going to be playing. Mm-hmm. One of them might be Black Diamond Junction.
Yeah, who are those guys, right? I don't know. Right?
It's going to be fully catered, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. So all the people who go on that Sunday are welcome to the party.
What a great experience I know this has been for you. And a little piece of news since we talked about things is that you're going to you're making a career of this somewhat.
I am.
You're going to go the next step and get a degree in being a playwright, I
guess. There was one school I wanted to go to, and I applied. I thought, well, you know, I've never written a play before, but let's see. I applied. I got in. It's Hollins University. It's in Virginia, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm so excited, and I actually am going to be writing four more plays before I leave in June.
Okay.
So if any actors want to get a hold of me to be in my next show, you can also email me at stagesofplay@gmail.com.
It's going to be a great great show. I just know it will be. And and Max is a special person, and I think just
you.
Having your fingers all over it is going to make it just fine. All right, brownpapertickets.com. You can get the $10 tickets by going there first. In stages of play, you might have to put like Squim or something, right? And otherwise, come down to OTA. We should point out that Max is doing this all on. I mean, this is an independent production.
It really
so
is.
That's, all of the money that's coming in is to pay for the theater, to pay for all of the stuff to put this on. This isn't it's being at OTA, but it's not an OTA part of the season.
Yes, so, exactly. Yeah,
people need to realize that as well. All right, Max. Good luck.
Thank
as
you
always,
so much.
But we'll see you very soon, I'm sure.
Awesome.
So,
I appreciate you.
Max Bedasha there. He has written Stages the Play. And if you want some more information, you can also drop him an email at stagestheplay@gmail.com. We will take a break and we'll be back with more in just a minute.
Todd Ort Live with a word for Olympic Peninsula Title. OPT, your locally owned and operated title company. This is a second generation business. And since 1982, they've been serving our area with a staff that cares about you and your needs. They speak in a language you can understand, and they'll make sure your transaction is always a smooth one. In a business where oftentimes things aren't easily understood, your partners at Olympic Peninsula Title will guide you through the process with ease and answer all of your questions. Over half of Olympic Peninsula Title's employees have been with the company for more than 20 years, so this is a title company you can trust. Olympic Peninsula Title also offers contract collections with locations in both Squim and Port Angeles. They're here to handle your business with community in mind. Olympic Peninsula Title is also a participant and sponsor of many local fundraisers and activities. They're here for you and for our community. With a wide range of experience and services, you should opt for Olympic Peninsula Title. Now at 403 South Peabody in Port Angeles.
Oh, sweetheart, there's so much to be grateful for. Our home, our health, and the Elwha River Casino.
El-what?
Elwha.
Okay, but why give thanks to the Elwha?
Only all the fun ways to win cash this November, like pigskin pick'em and the slot turkey tourney.
Cash, turkeys, and football? El, what are we waiting for? Get me to the Elwha.
Play Pigskin Pick'em at the Elwha River Casino. Earn points with your rewards card and choose your favorite team for a chance to win cash every Tuesday. First place gets $150. And don't miss the slot turkey tourney on Friday, November 22nd. Rewards members can win up to $300 and a turkey. Wednesdays are senior day, and every Sunday from 4 to 7, you can enjoy a steak dinner for just $6.99 at the River's Edge Grill. And a friendly reminder, the casino will be closed for maintenance starting at 10 p.m. on November 23rd, reopening on Wednesday the 27th. Catch all the Thanksgiving fun at the Elwha River Casino this November, the friendliest casino on the peninsula, just west of Port Angeles.
In our next segment, Rome. And there's some new research about who were the Romans.
The rise and fall of the Roman Empire has been fodder for historians for centuries. Now, a new study of the DNA of ancient Romans reveals fascinating information about how cities grow. I'm ABC's Megan Williams in Rome. The new study on the genetic makeup of ancient Romans shows great cities of the world owe their success to the influx of people from elsewhere, says researcher Alfredo Coppa.
An enormous amount of people arrive from outside. The necessity of people for military campaigns, for the industrial production.
Coppa is part of a team from Stanford University, the University of Vienna, and Rome that studied 127 human DNA samples from several dozen sites in and around Rome, dating from the Stone Age to medieval times. They found the city's huge expansion and dominance two millennia ago was fueled by people coming in from outside the area of modern-day Italy, from Turkey to North Africa. Coppa says without the influx of migrants, Rome would never have reached the heights it did.
It's not an increase of population because this economic situation is good, but because people arrive.
As soldiers, traders, and slaves. The team is now studying the evolution of traits like height, lactose tolerance, and resistance to widespread diseases that persist today, like malaria. Megan Williams, ABC News, Rome.
Today only, Taco Time would like to invite all veterans and active military members to enjoy a free combo meal number 3. That's right. Visit any Taco Time location and get a free soft taco combo meal. Happy Veterans Day from Taco Time, and thanks for all you've given.
Let Callus Insurance be your go-to resource for the changing Medicare marketplace. Callus Insurance is more than home and auto. We specialize in Medicare. Give us a call at 360-452-2314 or visit us at 802 East 1st Street in Port Angeles.
Wine nights at Seven Cedars Casino are just what you need for a relaxing evening of social time with friends or just a glass or two and dinner with your special someone. Every Monday at the House of Seven Brothers, starting at 4 p.m., enjoy half-price wines and an 8-ounce prime rib for just $25 or $18 for Rewards Club members. Take in the extensive wine list and enjoy a great ambiance in the House of Seven Brothers. And maybe you'll even get lucky in the casino after dinner. Make it a Seven Cedars outing with Wine Night every Monday. For more information, visit SevenCedarsResort.com.
A healthy digestive system contributes to good overall health. At Olympic Medical Physicians, our board-certified gastroenterologists are specially trained in the diagnosis and management of conditions that affect the digestive system. If you frequently experience symptoms like acid reflux, nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, bloating, or constipation, our team of specialists may be able to help. Please call 360-565-0999 for more information or talk to your provider about a referral.
This is the Fisher House story.
What is a Fisher House?
A special Veterans Day weekend presentation of this station and fisherhouse.org.
Wow, this is not a motel. It's a home somebody's sharing with you. It really is like that. This is where our wounded are healing, and that's how it's accepted.
Stories told in their own words by our military, veterans, and their families.
When I first came into this Fisher House, I felt such a serenity, such a blessing in this beautiful place.
Stories from their service and how they discovered Fisher House when they needed it most.
Fisher House means family to me. The deep meaning of patriotism, duty, country goes beyond the military and it's brought here.
The Fisher House story, brought to you by fisherhouse.org. I'm Pearline Clark from Rockford, Illinois. Glad you're with us.
And now, here's your host, Mary Walter, and this edition of the Fisher House story, in their own words, with special thanks to all the military veterans and their families appearing on the show today.
As you hear this special broadcast, there are 85 Fisher Houses across America and around the globe. And you might just be wondering,
what is a Fisher House?
Well, here's Army Ranger Sergeant First Class Corey Remsburg and his family from Gilbert, Arizona, to tell Corey's story that led him to Fisher Houses in Landstuhl, Germany, Bethesda, Maryland, and Tampa, Florida, after a final deployment in Afghanistan.
So this is Craig Remsburg, Corey's dad. So Corey, the Rangers have a high tempo rate of deployments, and Corey was on his 10th deployment with the 1st Battalion Rangers. And on that specific deployment, they were out looking for bad guys, and they work at night, and when they have an opportunity to locate somebody, they send the team out. And on this particular mission, it was a high value target that they were looking for, and they went into the area. Unfortunately, that individual got away. But they did find bad guys, and they took care of them. And Corey was given an assignment that he had done many, many times, and that was to secure a landing field and to bring the helicopters back so all the soldiers, all the Rangers could go back to their base. And en route to that area that he was going to secure, there was a planted IED, and it exploded. It killed one of the Rangers instantly. Corey was to his left, and Corey took fragments to his head. Other individuals were seriously injured. And then when Corey was packaged and moved throughout the whole triage process, through multiple hospitals and multiple Fisher Houses, from Landstuhl, Germany, to Bethesda, Maryland, to Tampa, we, as a family, as a support system, we stayed at each of these. And Corey was down here for over 2 years and going through the rehab, going through the recovery process to find independence.
I'm Annie Remsburg. I'm Corey's mom. And when Corey first entered the service, he was very bound and determined to become an Army Ranger, which is a high elite group. And it's very difficult for anyone to get through Ranger School. There's an 80% washout. So Corey, because he was the young man he is, was determined he was going to become that Army Ranger. So he worked very hard. He had to go through Ranger School, and he made it. And so throughout his career, he's always been the baby of the family. Corey was our wild child. Corey was the one, if you told him he couldn't do something, it was a thing he was going to do. But between that determination and the Army training he received, it lent well to his becoming what he is today, and that is highly determined. He is very optimistic. He will continue fighting to gain back whatever he can, and he will never give up.
And what was Mom's first impression of being able to spend time with other military and veterans' families in Fisher House?
The very first Fisher House was in Landstuhl, Germany. At that point in time, we were in total crisis because the Army would not, the military does not transport families unless their loved one's life is in jeopardy. So we went in to Germany on edge about what was happening. He was in a coma. They were doing brain surgeries on him. And the Fisher House, what it became to us, we had never been in a Fisher House, hadn't even heard about a Fisher House. And when we were escorted to the house, we were welcomed by the staff. We met other people who were there in their own crisis situations. And to us, it was a haven, a very caring facility where we were just a walk away from the hospital, which meant we would actually take turns. He was not left alone. We had someone with him 24/7. That's what the Fisher House afforded us that no other facility or hotel or what have you could ever have done for our family.
And how did it make Corey feel knowing that his parents were staying for no cost at a Fisher House just a short walk from where he was recuperating?
Give me peace of mind knowing they were nearby.
It's Craig Remsburg. I'm Corey's father. So a Fisher House, it's such a process that have integrated into the VA and military installations. And it is such a easy process. And so you come in, you're greeted with the individuals in charge, and you're assigned a room, you're given a tour, you understand roles, responsibilities, and then you start managing your own life. So, I mean, it's so streamlined that all of a sudden you're standing there, and what's so good about that is that you have new peers, the community, other parents, spouses, loved ones, and they're there to help you as well. And what you find out is that you turn around, now you have new people behind you, so then you do the same for them. So it's that evolving process that keeps us, just things just churning, and it doesn't lose any of its luster. It's always a first class. They always treat you with respect, and it's just a great place. And what an opportunity for a family to one less thing to worry about.
This is Annie, Corey Remsburg's mom. If a family has a need and they are looking to be with their loved one during a crisis time, a medical crisis time, whether it's injury from war, whether it's surgeries, whether it's a baby that's having to go to a special unit, cancer treatments, what have you. They need to understand that there are facilities, Fisher Houses, throughout the United States. And my understanding is there are 83 of them across the United States at this time, and they are shooting for 100. So most large facilities, whether they be military or VA, are either they have a Fisher House or they are contemplating getting one. But the most important message I would want to share with those families is that help is there for you. You do not have to go bankrupt. You do not have to put yourself in peril by driving several hours or having to stay in maybe a lower class motel just for the cost. The average person cannot afford to stay long term without some kind of assistance, and the Fisher House gives that. So I would always say to them, you should check with your social workers at the VA. You should check with your case managers. They will be able to direct you to a Fisher House if there is one in your vicinity. And by all means, go there. Be a part of the Fisher House family.
There's a lot of information that is available on the Fisher House at fisherhouse.org. And it gives you the process, it gives you locations, it gives you what's available, and it's a great resource to go to learn about this great organization.
Thank you for your support in making a Fisher House a wonderful foundation.
For more information on the efforts of the Fisher House Foundation, simply go to fisherhouse.org. This is Mary Walter in Washington, D.C., and we wondered, who's in charge of a Fisher House? Who are these managers of such homes for the military, veterans, and their families when they need it most? We stopped by the Tampa Fisher House to meet the manager there.
Hi, this is Paula Wellens from Tampa, Florida. And as I reflect on what brought me to the Fisher House family and the fold, I think it was fate, to tell you the truth. For many, many years, I was trained as a professional social worker and spent 20 years on active duty in the United States Air Force. And when I retired, I went to work in a program that provided emergency shelters for battered women and children, and moved to Florida at some point in my career and in my life. and came upon this wonderful opportunity to apply to manage a Fisher House program. And I thought, my goodness, this is kind of, you know, sent from heaven for me, because I get all about being a veteran, because I am a veteran. And as a social worker, I get the pain that people feel when they have a loved one who is desperately ill. And I was fortunate enough to have experience in running a residential type program. So I thought that skill set just all came together in a way that I hoped I would be the ideal candidate for this position. So I was blessed to be able to get the job. And 13 years later, I'm still here trying to figure out how to make these homes more warm, more welcoming, more comforting for the families who come to us.
The Fisher House Story, in their own words. To learn more, head over to fisherhouse.org and find out what you can do to give of your time, talents, or gifts under Get Involved. That's fisherhouse.org.
I'm your host, Mary Walter. We're talking to Paula Wellens, manager of the Tampa Fisher Houses.
I really think the key component to Fisher Houses being present for the families is that it gives them an opportunity to be at the bedside of the patient at any time that they want to or that they need to. I really think from a very holistic medical perspective, medicine is part of the recovery, but love and support and encouragement are the other part of the recovery. And the medical staff is all skilled and knows exactly what they're doing, but they can't bring to the patient that same degree of love, support, and encouragement as comes from the heart of somebody who loves you. As the manager of the Fisher House, I work very, very closely with my colleagues on the medical side of the facility. We get all of our referrals from the social works staff, so we rely on them to know when there's a family in need and to send the referral our way. Furthermore, because of the kind of facility we are here in Tampa, we have people who have very complex recovery and rehabilitative needs, and we meet regularly as a team with the physicians and the nurses and the therapists to ensure that we're on top of what is going on, because no one's recovery happens in a bubble. The medical team's part of it is absolutely crucial, but sometimes we can share things with the team with regards to how families are coping with what's going on with the patient, and that's helpful and important to them in tailoring the recovery of the patient.
Just amazing, isn't it? And Fisher Houses all over the U.S. and the globe are supported solely by the time, talents, and gifts of grateful Americans like you through the Fisher House Foundation at fisherhouse.org.
Boeing announcing a new timeline for its grounded 737 MAX jets to return to the skies. The plane has been grounded since mid-March following two deadly crashes.
Boeing is saying today it stands by its timeline of having the 737 MAX recertified to fly by the end of next month, and that it could even restart deliveries of new Boeing 737 MAX aircraft in the next few weeks. Boeing says it's done with two software fixes, but now it has to go through a bunch of steps to get FAA approval to fly passengers again. On Friday, American and Southwest Airlines announced they plan to take 737 MAX flights off their schedules until at least the beginning of March.
ABC's Alex Stone at Arlington National Cemetery today. Salutes and a wreath laying ceremony on this Veterans Day, the nation honoring Americans' veterans. At events around the country, vets taking part in parades. And on Wall Street, the market's closing mixed. The Dow ending on an up note, though, adding 10 points. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Here is your AccuWeather forecast. This afternoon, mostly cloudy, high 52. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight with late night showers, low 40. Mostly cloudy tomorrow with rain tapering off, high 51. Cloudy tomorrow night, low 41. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy, high 50. Cloudy skies remain Wednesday night, low 40. Looking ahead to Thursday, cloudy with a little rain in the afternoon, high 51. For AccuWeather, I'm Cheryl Golden.
Rediscover downtown shopping, downtown shopping, downtown Port Angeles.
Rediscover the variety, hospitality, and value. Rediscover downtown Port Angeles.
Impossible Eden, Anime Cat, and KOMP encourage you to shop downtown Port Angeles.
Rediscover downtown shopping, downtown.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio KONP.
Oh, sweetheart, there's so much to be grateful for. Our home, our health, and the Elwha River Casino.
El-what?
Elwha.
Okay, but why give thanks to the Elwha?
Only all the fun ways to win cash this November, like pigskin pick'em and the slot turkey tourney.
Cash, turkeys, and football? El, what are we waiting for? Get me to the Elwha.
Play pigskin pick'em at the Elwha River Casino. Earn points with your rewards card and choose your favorite team for a chance to win cash every Tuesday. First place gets $150. And don't miss the slot turkey tourney on Friday, November 22nd. Rewards members can win up to $300 and a turkey. Wednesdays are senior day, and every Sunday from 4 to 7, you can enjoy a steak dinner for just $6.99 at the River's Edge Grill. And a friendly reminder, the casino will be closed for maintenance starting at 10 p.m. on November 23rd, reopening on Wednesday the 27th. Catch all the Thanksgiving fun at the Elwha River Casino this November, the friendliest casino on the peninsula, just west of Port Angeles.
Olympic Peninsula Title, the name you've known for your full title and escrow services, offers contract collection. Let Olympic Peninsula Title process, collect, and disperse funds with your private party loan. Find out more about this service and how it can work for you. OlePennTitle.com. Olympic Peninsula Title. Title, escrow, contract collection. Olympic Peninsula Title.
And we'll spend the rest of the program this afternoon with a special from the Fisher House organization honoring our veterans.
Next, we'll talk to a disabled female Marine who found the right mix of medicine and hospitality for her and her husband at the Fisher House in D.C. in their own words.
I grew up with apple pie, mom, baseball games, football games, you know. My mother and father had Bill Cosby and nothing on them, I always said.
Meet Agnes Ross, retired Marine from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
My brother went in the Marines, and I went to college, and I ran out of money. So they said, if you hurry up, you can get the old VA benefits. If not, you got to get the new ones. So I said, well, that sounds kind of good. And they can help me pay for the rest of my college and stuff. But then also I've been a 4-H leader, Sunday school teacher, all of that before, right? So I was very country. I very loved my country. In our house, we stood up. You know, the Star Spangled Banner came on, especially baseball games. My father loved his baseball, you know. And we got our hot dogs. So we were very, very military orientated because we had uncles served in the Korean War and the Vietnam War. We had some family serve in World War II. So it was just something natural. Not for the girl in our family, because you got to understand, I was born in 55, and this still wasn't the age where women just went and joined the service. But I picked the best one, the Marine Corps, so it was okay. When I first came out the service, I needed maternity care. I couldn't receive it at VA, because there was nothing for women. As time went on, in the middle 2000s, the VA opened up for women. And they had women's clinic, but I ended up at Orange Clinic because this was, I said, why are you putting me in women's clinic just because I'm a woman and you put me in women's clinic? Are you putting any men in women's clinic? Oh, no, 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 no. I said, well, don't put me in women's clinic. I'm, you know, still the military in me. So I got in Orange Clinic. That's a little rebellion type thing. And I got real good service. My name is Agnes Ross, and I'm from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I am a retired United States Marine Corps veteran. We found out in December I had a spot in my lung. We went through the procedure. It took to the end of February due to me breaking my leg for us to get a biopsy. And that biopsy turned out to be inconclusive. My husband was with me through the whole thing. And he said that the doctor said, well, we'll wait 3 months. And we'll do it again. When we went back 3 months, I was stage 3 lung cancer in my right lung. Everything else fine.
As we spoke, Agnes and her husband were staying in the D.C. Fisher House under care at the D.C. VA hospital. The odd sound you hear is the oxygen device that helps her breathe.
I called up here, and that's when I first heard about the Fisher House. When I came up here, we said, wow, we can't afford to come. finding out that it's 30 radiation treatments, one a day, you know, eight chemo treatments, not knowing what chemo details. I have a dog that's a therapy dog. He's my heart. He's not a service dog, so that's the only reason why he's not in Fisher House. If he was a service dog, he'd be in Fisher House, I found out. But he's not a service dog. So there's no hotel room, Holiday Inn, places you could stay. And after the first week of chemo, trust me, without Fisher House, I don't know what I would do. You can ask my husband the next question.
Hello, my name is Rico Ross, Agnes' husband. It was very difficult for me. The Fisher House, not used to living with it anyone or around people. But I knew we needed help. And I had been past this place many times, bringing my wife, and never even recognized it. But when we came to check out the place, Miss Stacy Childs, she was very welcoming, and I know that she would look at me because I was just looking angry. I was like totally confused. Well, nevertheless, we decided to come, and without this Fisher House, I know I probably would have cracked. Hold on, by now. I received my education about this cancer from the people here. I've had people to talk to when I couldn't even talk to my family because I don't know anything. And so I'm truly grateful for this place, you know. As far as the hospitality, you know, we don't have to go and spend money on food, you know, detergent, you know, free television, you know. It's just been a tremendous help. And my wife going through what she's going through, you know, she's already had many side effects. And we wouldn't have been able to just to go and be amongst family or anything like that. We needed this quietness, this peace, you know, to get away. It's been a light in a darkness.
For me to be able to come in and go peacefully to the room, it means so much because this first chemo put me in the hospital. I know for my husband, I love him so because he gave up everything. And he was looking, how can he protect me? How can he save me? How can he help me? And to have him have the Fisher House, he has people to he can talk to. That's in the Fisher House, we're all going through the same life and death situation. And it gives us hope. I'll tell anybody, if you want to give to an organization, you should give to the Fisher House. It's not hard to remember the name Fisher and House. So if you give something, we can have another person, veteran, come another day after I leave.
First of all, shout out to the caregivers. But the most impressive things for me was that this place survives off donations. And yes, I will be contributing or donating what I can and when I can because it's been a true blessing.
Yeah, and I just want to plug in. The staff at the Fisher House is 100% awesome.
This is Rico Ross. I'm from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Agnes' husband. Thank you for supporting Fisher House.
In their own words, this is the Fisher House story. I'm Mary Walter. Zachary and Elizabeth Fisher began the Fisher House program over 25 years ago now, building the first 20-some houses on their own. Why? How? Now we hear that story from the president of Fisher House Foundation, David Coker.
You know, Zachary and Elizabeth Fisher were an amazing couple. It's always been said that theirs is a love story, and one of a love of God, love of country, and love of family. And he had been successful in a career, real estate development in New York City. And when World War II came about, he tried to enlist in the Marines. But as a teenager, he was a bricklayer, been involved in an accident, and seriously injured his knee. So when he went to volunteer for the Marines, he was rejected. And through that experience during World War II, he volunteered to help build coastal defenses. And that was the way he served then. But he always felt there was a debt that he hadn't paid. He wasn't called upon to serve like others of his age. And he always remembered that. So he supported many military causes, the Veterans Bedside Network for years and years. And he was invited to a breakfast meeting where somebody had the idea the USS Intrepid had been decommissioned. It was going to be scrapped. And someone came and presented an idea about, you know, we could save this and turn this into a museum and share the story. And after the breakfast, everybody got up and went their own ways, except for Zach. And he said, when do we get started? Let's do this. And so in 1982, the Intrepid Museum Foundation became a reality. And through that, Zach invested in turning that into a world-class sea airspace museum. And it still is today, has over 1 million visitors in New York City. But through that experience, Zach had a natural relationship and affinity with the Navy. And he got to know better the people who were serving. And they inspired him. So one day he went to the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Carl Trost. And he said, Admiral, I'd really like to do something more for our military. And I'd like it to be applicable to all the services. What do you need?
You're listening to the Fisher House Story, In Their Own Words, a very special presentation of this station and fisherhouse.org.
Hi, this is Dave Coker. I have the privilege of being president of Fisher House Foundation, and I'm recounting how the Fisher House program began. So Zachary went to Admiral Carl Trost, and he said, I want to do something that's going to be a blessing not only to those who serve in the Navy, but to all the services. What can I do? And Admiral Trost went to his staff and said, guys, let's put our thinking caps on. And being a good leader, he also went to his wife and said, honey, what do you think? I've had this tremendous offer. And she remembered a helicopter landing at Bethesda, the National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland. And the gurney came out with the patient, and then the family came with suitcases. And being in Bethesda and in D.C. and no reasonable hotels nearby, very nice ones, most people in the military just couldn't afford to stay there. And it was put on her heart, where are those families going to stay? And so the answer came back to Zach, we need something like a Ronald McDonald House. And Zach said, I'm a builder, I can do that. And so he proffered two houses, one for the Navy at the National Naval Medical Center and one for the Army at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. As those two houses were being built, he thought about it and said, you know, maybe the Air Force could use a house. And so he reached out to the Air Force and they said, we sure could, but we need it in San Antonio, Texas at the Wolford Hall Medical Center. That's our big medical center. So two houses became three, became five, and the program is called Fisher House in honor of Zach's commitment because he and Elizabeth personally funded the first 20-plus houses.
And now let's hear from the current family leader of the Fisher House Foundation with these closing words. Here's CEO Ken Fisher.
We as Americans need to take an oath. When this 1% of this nation today raises their right hand and takes their oath to defend this nation with their lives, that we as Americans need to take an oath too. And the oath that we need to take is that We will honor their service and their sacrifice. And if they should come home wounded, whether it's seen or unseen, that we will do our best to take care of them and to take care of their families if they don't come home. Yes. And I think that is just as critical to me as building a house is. There's the Fisher House kind of way, and then there's the everyday that Americans need to stop and really need to think about, not just on Memorial Day or Veterans Day, but every day, that it becomes really important to remember that freedom isn't free and that we do take things for granted in this country, especially in the holidays where it's even more important.
The words of Ken Fisher, whose great aunt and uncle were Zachary and Elizabeth Fisher. Now you know what a Fisher House is and how a grateful nation says thanks to its military, veterans, and their families when they need it most. Stay tuned to this station for more Fisher House stories and go to fisherhouse.org anytime to learn more. That's fisherhouse.org. I'm Mary Walter. Thanks to you for listening.
This has been the Fisher House Story, In Their Own Words, directed and produced by Jeff Wyatt, audio producer and Imagineer Bernie Lucas, visual marketing specialist Jennifer Quiroz, all of the Jeff Wyatt Group, executive producers David Coker and Michelle Baldanza. This program dedicated to the fond memory, compassion, and fine work of Carrie Childress, and brought to you by FisherHouse.org.
For some people, their car is their most prized possession. Show you care with a gift certificate for high-quality Union 76 gas and car washes from First Race Car Wash. Gift certificates start at $5. First Race Car Wash at First and Race.
You're a winner every time when you've got that First Race shine.
Ooh, your finish comes first at First Race.
Habitat for Humanity is excited to host the first ever holiday tour of homes, December 6th and 7th. Join friends and neighbors to get a private guided tour of four exquisitely decorated holiday homes. Participants of the tour will meet at a starting location and be bused to the homes on tour. Tickets for this fun night out are on sale now at Brown Paper Tickets. All proceeds support Habitat of Clallam County. Get into the holiday spirit and help a good cause. Log on to brownpapertickets.com and search Holiday Tour of Homes for more details.
Voted the Peninsula's Best Live Band 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019, it's Black Diamond Junction. BDJ is ready to bring their high-energy, high-entertainment list of classic hits to your next event. Give your reception, community event, fundraiser, dance, or concert a special sparkle. Black Diamond Junction. Hurry, dates are filling up. Head to blackdiamondjunction.com or find them on Facebook.
News Radio KONP, Port Angeles.